Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And I believe this chapter, this verse we're going to look at this morning, just wants to build upon what God has already done and said in us. And in a sense, the starting point is that passage that John has just read. God wants to do good to his people. If only we could grasp the enormity of God's love and the fact that he is on our side. He is working with us. He is working for our good. And this morning, as we look at the passage, it's all about vision. And as we read these verses, the challenge for us is, what do we see of God and in God? Because that will determine how we act today. Vision is so important to us as Christians, but it's actually a very important part and will help to govern the lives of every individual, Christian or not. Because almost if God's placed that principle within mankind, which has worked out, we have the incredible privilege of seeing our lives worked out with a God-given vision. Amen. Glory to God. Let's read this passage in Hebrews 11, verse 13. And I'm going to read it as I used to read it some years ago. Because I remember when I first came across this passage, it had a huge impact on me for all of the wrong reasons. Because I read it like this, is verse 13. That's all these people, that's all of those who have gone before, particularly focusing on Abraham. It says, all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. And I got to the end, I ended there. I thought, well, thank you, God. Isn't that really good news? I've got a vision for great things, and yet I'm not going to receive them this side of death. I thought, well, I thought the gospel was meant to be good news. And you know, one of the problems we have as Christians, we read little snippets without reading the entire context. And one of the things we need to learn is to read Scripture in its context, in its entirety. Because you read that and you could be left in a really difficult, hopeless situation. But as you read on, you realize that God is speaking to every one of us. So we see all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. And then the key, they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And so what starts as quite a challenging, negative thing in my head, your head may be different, actually ends up with the most positive declaration of faith and a challenge to us, because it's telling us Abraham had a vision beyond that in which he was living at the time. Abraham had this God-given vision. And you know, the reality is when God speaks, he brings vision. When God gives a promise, he creates a vision within us to see that promise realized at some point in the future. And Abraham was that man. God had broken into his life and had given him an incredible vision to do with land, physical land that he was going to possess, or his descendants were going to possess, but also vision of a heaven, a destiny, an eternity that was to come. And when we look at this, we need to be in that position that Abraham was in, where we have the vision that God has given, and we are welcoming that vision each and every day. So we're, in a sense, living in the present, but we're looking to that which is yet to come, which has been revealed to us by God, because the truth is this, we all live in the light of what is to come. We all live in the light of our future vision. Non-Christians do this, and Christians do this. And we do it because God has revealed a particular vision to us. When we come to look at this passage, it's a tremendous encouragement and challenge to us, because we can so easily get bogged down in the present. But it tells us that Abraham and those others mentioned, their lives being lived in the vision, they trusted God to fulfill His word. They trusted God to fulfill His word. And they were not going to be affected by the circumstances around them. You know, if you consider Abraham had this amazing promise of a son, which he saw happen. But he also had this promise of land where he would settle. But the reality is, for Abraham, he remained a wanderer all of his life. And that promise of land, that promise of a place to call their own, that place of being settled and ownership, was to be many, many years down the line. But Abraham had faith for that coming generation. And that is so important in a multi-generational church. Now, what do I mean by multi-generation? There are those who are young, and there are those who are not so young. And everybody in the middle. You can decide where you are. But you know, the challenge for those of us who are of a certain age and stage in life, we need to be working to see the promises that God has given to us for the church, the promises that God has given to us for this community, we need to be working to see those fulfilled by this up and coming generation. You see, can I say to you youngsters, and by youngsters I mean anyone under 55. Come on, let's be encouraging here. I see that hand. You're not starting where many of us started. You're building upon something that has gone before. For many of us, a church like this at your age, you know, if I was thinking about going back to when I was 20-ish, a church like this was a dream. I'm not even going to say it was a God-given vision, because at that point we didn't talk in that way. At that point we didn't understand about God-given vision. Believe it or not, we hadn't read a great deal of the Bible, because in the tradition I came from, it was more or less the hymn book was more important than the scriptures. So we didn't have a lot to say in terms of vision. But we had this dream, in a sense, of what church could be like. And today, as we gather together, what we have experienced here this morning would not have happened in our context 40 years ago. It couldn't have happened, because people were not open in this way to the Spirit of God. And it's something we should never lose. You know, as those of us are getting to that point where we've got more life behind us than we have ahead of us, we need to be working not to settle in what we have got. This is good. This is brilliant. This is the dream fulfilled for many of us. But God has a vision which is bigger than what we have now. And we need to lay hold of that. And whether I receive it in my lifetime, whether you receive it in your lifetime, is not the issue. I need to welcome that vision. I need to receive that vision. And I need to live in the light of that vision becoming a reality among us as a community. It says they didn't receive them, they died. But they saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Wow, that's fantastic. Folks, we need to be a people who welcome what God has revealed to us, whether or not we are the generation to see that fulfilled. You see, one of the things is we live in an instant society, and we want everything to happen. Well, if it doesn't happen this afternoon, could it happen by lunchtime tomorrow, God? So God gives us these big visions, and I'm like this. You know, God reveals something about what He wants to do among us, and I want to see it fulfilled in the next 24 hours. And even that requires an incredible degree of patience. It does. I am not good at this. And that's why we actually need one another. That's why we need to work together in team. Because my shortcomings can be helped and overcome by the strengths of others. And now you see why we rejoice in an eldership. Yeah. Because we can help one another. We can strengthen one another, encourage one another. And when one grows weak, the other can, others can step in. But vision is so, so important. For the older generation, we cannot settle. For the younger generation, there is more. There is more. This is not the end of the journey. This is simply part of the journey. You see, when God speaks, we hear, he plants a seed within our heart. That seed begins to grow and develop, and that produces within us a God-given vision of what he is going to achieve. And we have big vision for this church. Now, the bad news is, it's different to what we've got. You know, we so easily, you know, we claim to be wanting to change and open to the Spirit of God. But as soon as something changes, we have a crisis. We do. And one of the crises among here, among us, and I get this quite a lot. Oh, I don't know everybody who comes to church on a Sunday morning. As if it's a problem. Thank God we don't, because it shows God is adding to us. God is causing us to grow. Tell me in the scriptures where it says you've got to know everyone. We can't know everyone. We need to know some. We don't need to know all. And it's the glory of God that he joins us together through the blood of Christ. And he gives us a vision. And our vision is bigger than what we have now. And every one of us needs to get used to the fact that change is going to come. Now, I hear you say, does this mean I'm on the point of announcing some major change? No. But we need to be prepared in our hearts for what is to come. For what is to come in the timing of God, for what is ours in the heart of God. And we need to be those who have this God-given vision to see and to welcome whatever it is God has got for us in these coming days. God speaks. He reveals a dream. He reveals a vision. And we live in the light of that which God has revealed. We do this in our day-to-day lives. Having two daughters, and they get to that point where the word wedding is mentioned. And we've had two weddings in 2 years. And praise God, that's it, done and dusted. I'm a free man. And more than that, the bank account has been liberated. But when you get to a point, and could I say this, you know, particularly to you ladies, you know, when you ring your parents up and say, you know, we're going to get married or whatever, there's usually two things will go through the mind of your parents. One is, how much? And the second is diet. It is. What I've worked out is when it comes to weddings, and you go for the fitting, all the suits and all the rest of it. When you go and you find that you're in between sizes, no one ever suggests you should eat into the next size up. No one. Now, somebody here could be the first person. And because I'm surrounded by women, I remember on both occasions, I come in exactly in the middle of the sizes. And with one voice, you'll have to lose some weight then, won't you? Why? Why not come and say, Dad, have a McDonald's. Have two. No one said, put weight on. Now, what happens is you get the date fixed for the wedding. Then everything else, this is almost like this cloud which you carry with you regardless of what else is happening. You know, I would like to go out and spend some money. I've got the wedding. I would like to put a loaf of bread on the table. Oh, you've got the wedding. Can we afford, you know, in the depth of winter, Christmas Day, you're sitting there, Christmas Day, can we afford to put the heating on? We've got the wedding in May. But the reality is, we're living in the light of a future event. And it may be different for you. You know, I'm not even going to go into the light of living in the light of future exam results. I thought, I don't want to depress anybody here this morning. But we do this. We live in the light of that which we expect to come. As Christians, we need to be living in the light of the revelation and the dreams and visions that God has given us, because what we find is there is strength in that vision. As I was reading through and considering this, and the fact that what we hope for tomorrow has an impact on today, I was beginning to think about how vision, God-given vision, fulfills that same purpose as prophecy. Now consider this. If we look at Scripture, it says of prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3, everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Strengthening, you know, you get to that age and the mind just goes. Strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Those three things. So as we prophesy the word of God to one another, we ought to be strengthened, we ought to be encouraged, we ought to be comforted in various degrees depending upon the need within our own lives. That's what it says is the function. And how many people here need strengthening? How many people here need encouraging? How many people here at times need comforting? The word of God comes to us in order to produce that in our lives. Vision fulfills exactly the same function. Consider that. You've got a vision of God for what the church should be. You've got a vision of God for my future, your future in God. And times become difficult. What do? You reach back into that vision. And out of that vision that God has revealed to you, you will be strengthened. You will be encouraged. You will be comforted in order to lay hold and press on to receive that which God has revealed to you. It's the antidote to hopelessness. There is no worse place for a Christian to be in that place of hopelessness. God does not want you to be in a place of hopelessness. He wants you through vision. He wants you through prophetic vision. That is vision given by God to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to be comforted. God has much that he wants to reveal to you. How did Abraham? I was thinking about this. This is not written down. Actually, most of this is not written down. How did Abraham get to that point of receiving this incredible vision of the future, land and eternity? How did he get there? Well, I believe the clue is in the fact that Abraham was called a friend of God. And God loves speaking to his friends. He does. Honest. I've got friends who speak to me. They've got a friend in me. I ignore them. But God loves to speak to his friends. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you are called a friend of God. Your friend. Therefore, we don't need to wrestle with God. I believe we simply come and say, God, I'm here. Come and reveal yourself to me. Come and reveal your plans and purposes to me. And we attune our ears day by day by day. And we have brothers and sisters who can help us. God has more for us to receive than we have so far received. That's the adventure. That's where Abraham lived. There was always more. Always more. The promise coming ever nearer day by day. And it says, they died in faith. What a glorious way to die. In faith. Because you know the adventure here on earth may have ended, but by God, there's an incredible adventure yet to come. We have an eternity. I want to one of you afraid of death? One of you met people here afraid of death? Now, I'm not talking about the process. The process of dying is a different matter. But I have it on good authority that unless the Lord returns, every person in this room one day will die. Took some working out that. But we do, we get to that point. Abraham got to that point. But what does it say? He died in faith. He died in faith. What had he seen in God? He was longing for a better country, a heavenly one. You see, God gives us vision for his community. I firmly believe that. But also God gives us a vision for that which is to come in eternity. Abraham lived in both. Please, don't get so fixed on heaven that you're no earthly use. But don't get so fixed on earth that you're no heavenly use. We've got to hold these things in tension. God has a plan for here, now, but there is a guarantee of eternity. And this had been revealed to God, to Abraham, because he was a friend. So I want to tell you, I've got a prophetic promise here for every one of us from our friend Jesus. Right? Jesus has a promise, a prophetic promise. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I am going to prepare a place for you. Do you know one of the privileges of being in this role is that you spend time with people and at very near that point of dying. And can I say what an incredible privilege it is when you're there and that person on the brink of eternity is full of faith and they're welcoming as from a distance that which God has promised. And you know, you don't come out downhearted. You come out feeling what an incredible privilege it has been to share those moments and stirred in your faith because you want to be in that place that that person is in, looking into eternity with that confidence that comes from knowing Jesus. How does godly vision affect our today? Three things, short things. First, surrender. Surrender our lives afresh to God. Give our lives and resources in the pursuit of eternal realities. Sowing into the kingdom. Everything else will burn away. Everything else will burn away. We need to sow into the kingdom. So we surrender our lives. And the second key thing is this, surrender. We surrender our lives to God and acknowledge that we never retire from the kingdom of God and pursuing the promises that God has revealed to us. Abraham was 175 years old when he died. And he died in faith. He died pursuing that which God had revealed to him. You know, we need to be those who right up to the very end are pursuing with vigor the things that God has given us. The things that God has revealed to us. Because what we find is every age is included in this journey of faith in order to see the promises of God fulfilled among us. There is no retirement from the kingdom. None. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, you have something to give into the pursuit of the promises of God that will be a blessing to others. Lastly, surrendering our lives to God in pursuit of His promises means we are looking always to the victory of Jesus over death. As we surrender our lives to Him, the cross, the empty tomb becomes central because in that lies our hope. Jesus has triumphed. Jesus has overcome. Jesus has won the victory. So as we surrender our lives to Him, what we'll find is that hope for the future floods us by the power of the Spirit, and we no longer need and live in fear of what tomorrow has, but we can press on unhindered by the fears of the world. Just as the music group come and prepare themselves, seamless. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says this, as we prepare to break bread together. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here we have the power of vision lived out in the life of Jesus. He had that vision given to him in his humanity of what was to come. He saw the cross, but he embraced the cross because of the joy that was set before him. You see, this is the power of God's promises and vision in action. Jesus himself was strengthened. Jesus himself was encouraged. Jesus himself was comforted by the joy, that vision of the joy that was set before him. And in doing so, he found strength to endure the cross. In doing so, in embracing that vision, he could have strength to overcome the shame. And he knew that he was going to sit down at the right hand of the Father. You see, Jesus is empowered by vision, but for the joy set before him, that vision of the church, that vision of eternity, that vision of glory, how much more do we need to live in the light of that which is yet to come on earth and also in heaven? Let's stand. Let's just close our eyes. Thank you, Lord. If you feel today that vision is in short supply, go to the Scriptures. Vision is empowered by Scripture. It will always be in line and in tune and informed by Scripture. But you know, many Christians have no vision of the future because they never read the Bible. It's the basics we fall down on. I believe that today, each one of us, we can make a commitment before God to take one step that will help us grow in our friendship with God, and through that friendship, God will whisper more of His secrets to our spirits. He will reveal more of Himself. He will reveal more of His future plans, vision to each and every one of us. So wherever you are, just decide, what is that one step you can take? Now please, for some of us it's going to be a little step. Don't think you're going to start by running a marathon, as it were. Think of that small step that you can covenant with God and say, God, from this moment, I'm going to take this small step of spending more time with you, more time in your word, in order that my friendship with you grows, because God loves to speak to his friends. And Lord, as we spend more time with you, as our friendship with you deepens, I ask, Father, that you will reveal incredible vision to each and every one of us, for our lives, for the lives with those with whom we worship, and that eternal vision for what is yet to come. Lord, I want to ask right now that you will break the lies of the enemy that tell me I will never hear, I will never receive, Lord, we break that in Jesus' name. We consign that to the empty tomb, buried with Jesus. We consign these negative things to the tomb. Say, Lord, we come to you now. And in these coming days, in these coming months, let us embrace the visions that you have given us. And let us receive them as from a distance and live in the light of these eternal possibilities. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to just continue in worship as we break bread together. If you've got children, please come, go and collect them. Could we have stewards and ministry team at each of the four corners, please? And if you need prayer, please ask one of the ministry team in the corners to pray with you. Anything that's been stirred. I would also like us, if a few people could pray. I know Janet's been prayed for, but this is Janet's last Sunday with us on this season. So if a few people could gather around Janet, and particularly, will you break bread with Janet as she returns to India? So let a few folk gather around Janet right now. Father, I want to thank you for the wonderful privilege of being called friends of God. We recognize that this is all through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus. And I ask, Father, right now that as we break bread together, you will impart heavenly vision. You will impart more of your heart for who we are to be as a community, and more of the revelation of that which is yet to come in glory for the people of God. Thank you, Lord. Let's continue in worship. Feel free just to go and break bread as you wish. We have a station in each of the four corners.